That's it for announcements. There was an article that was written about a man who had lost his wallet, and there was a large sum of cash in the wallet. Well, fortunately for this man who had lost his wallet with a large sum of money in it, a good Samaritan happened by his wallet, and he found it, and he returned it to the owner. And he returned it with all the cash in it, every cent. And it was a huge amount of money. And the article talked about how the owner was shocked that all the money was still in it when he got his wallet back. The author of this article wrote in the article that he was shocked and surprised that someone would leave all the money in there. You know, not just take a few bucks out of there, but left the whole amount in the wallet. People wrote in to the paper in regards to this, and they couldn't believe that this sum of money was still in the wallet when it was returned to its owner. They were shocked and surprised. Isn't it sad, though, that we are shocked and surprised by people who do the right thing? People are more surprised and shocked when they see someone who does the right thing than when someone doesn't do the right thing. Why is that? People seem to be more surprised when someone acts with integrity than when they don't. And maybe it has to do with the fact that we're surrounded by people, or seemingly everywhere we look, whether it's a celebrity, a politician, some type of leader, but we're surrounded by people who seem to fall regularly and often. And so then it's hard, I mean, maybe it's easier to understand then why we're not surprised, or why we are surprised when somebody does act with integrity. It might even be closer to home. It might be a coworker that has fallen, or maybe it's a friend or a family member that falls. But what they're saying is, they're saying, and typically what they say is one thing, but how they live out their lives is very different. Their walk is not matching their values. Today I'm going to look at one verse found in Ephesians 4 verse 1. And I'm going to read it out of the NASB. And Ephesians 4 verse 1 says this: This is Paul speaking. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. At the beginning of this verse, the therefore there is, it's a transitional statement. Paul is drawing us back. He's telling us, hey, remember what happened in this, what I talked about in this in the previous chapters of this letter. In light of the doctrinal truths in chapters 1 to 3, he is saying, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And here's a brief summary of chapter 1 to 3. Here's a brief summary of what Paul is asking us to consider in this transitional statement. He's saying, consider this. As believers, as followers of Jesus, he's saying, consider this. As we're moving into this chapter, talking about walk in a manner worthy of your calling, remember this. Remember that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. He has made us to be holy, to be blameless. He, in His love, has adopted us into His family. He made us He made us to the praise of His glory. He has forgiven us. He has given us wisdom. He has made known to us the mystery of His will. He has given us an inheritance. He has given us the Holy Spirit, sealed us in himself. He has given us resurrection power. He has made us alive from the dead. We are recipients of the amazing riches of Jesus Christ. We are one with the Lord, citizens of his kingdom. So in light of this, in light of all of these riches that we possess as children of God, walk in a manner that is worthy of who you are. Paul is suggesting that as followers of Jesus, we are now citizens of heaven. And he's saying that as citizens of heaven, and while we're on earth, that we ought to live like we're citizens of heaven. In Philippians 1 verse 27, Paul puts it this way: only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, our daily conduct, our daily walk, should be a living expression of the gospel, should be a living expression of the transformation that has taken place in light of who we now are in Jesus. Walk in a manner, a manner worthy had the meaning that to have the same weight as another. And so if you can picture a scale, and instead of being out of balance, walk in a manner worthy, walk in the same weight as another thing. And it can refer to a set of scales that balance with the same weight on one side as on the other side of the scale. So it's absolutely balanced on this scale. It means of like value, worth as much. Their conduct, our conduct as followers of Jesus, our conduct weighs as much as the character of the Lord. And so our conduct should match that of the character of the Lord if you're seeing it in the light of the scale. In the Greek sentence structure, worthy is at the beginning of the sentence for emphasis. So in the Greek structure, it would read this way: only worthily of the gospel of Christ conduct yourselves. See, there's some significance there. There's some importance there of walking worthily of the gospel. The emphasis is placed on the way that we walk in the midst of a fallen world, in the midst of trials, in the midst of a crooked generation. As followers of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, made clear in the first chapter, so our who we are in Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that's made very clear in the first three chapters and clear in Romans 8, 1-37. We won't read that. But we are then able to walk in a manner consistent with the gospel only by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. The exalted reality of the gospel demands an exalted lifestyle of the follower of Jesus. And so it's on this basis of all of this doctrine that it then becomes our duty to conduct ourselves in that manner. The theme of the last three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, the theme of that is to walk. How you walk, considering who we are in Christ. And if you look at 4, 5, and 6, you see that it talks about this walk. Walk in unity. Walk differently than the Gentiles. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. Walk wisely. It's a spiritual walk. It's a warfare walk. And next week we'll talk a little bit more of the aspect of that warfare and the need for the armor of God and putting on that armor in order to be able to walk worthily of this calling. The word walk is the equivalent to our daily conduct and lifestyle. It's ongoing. It's continually. It's not necessarily, it's just at a steady pace, continuing to walk, continuing to move forward. And so in life, as you're moving forward, as you're walking through life, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of our calling. Let our lifestyle be worthy of the gospel to which we are called. This life is based on Ephesians 3:14-21. And as we surrender to the Holy Spirit to be strengthened by his might in the inner man, and as Christ transforms our life, it's purifying and cleansing. And then he's settling down at home in our lives. And as his love penetrates our life, and as a result of our being filled with all the fullness of God and able to do, then we are able to do, and this is verse 21, then we are able to do exceedingly abundant above all we ask or think according to the power that works in you. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in us. And as all of this is taking place, we're living in the resources that God has given us, that God has given us to enable us to walk worthily, the worthy walk. You see, we'll never do it by just knowing theology and trying harder and doing more. It's only through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And out of our surrender to him, it's only then that we begin to walk a life that is worthy of his calling. To carry out this spiritual walk, we must be aware of our continual need to depend on the Holy Spirit, his enabling us in supernatural, God-pleasing, fruit-bearing walk. That's how we're to walk. Bearing fruit continually moving forward, continually to rely on the supernatural indwelling Holy Spirit to walk in that manner. And again, if we attempt to walk, to carry this walk out in dependence only on ourselves, our natural fleshly power, we will fall. We're going to experience frustration. We're going to experience defeat. We're going to be walking in futility, really, struggling, because we're doing it on our own strength. We were never meant to walk this walk on our own strength. We must learn to walk as Jesus walked. And how did Jesus walk when he was on earth? He walked continually empowered by and independence, complete dependence on the Holy Spirit. To walk worthy of the Lord, practically speaking, means to walk like our Lord Jesus walked when he was on earth. Ephesians 5:1-2 says, imitate Jesus. This is how we're to walk. Imitate Jesus as you walk, as you live out your life. And I recognize, and we know, I think a lot of us know that he is God. So of course it's going to be easy for God to walk this life, because he is God. Well, that's all very true, but as he walked on this earth, he was fully man, and he was tempted in all things as we are, yet he was without sin. And remember that he completely emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. He completely emptied himself. Walking as we walk, going through struggles, he experienced what we experienced. We do have a high priest who is aware of how the struggles that we go through, that we walk through on a regular basis. He knows that. We have a high priest who is not unaware of those issues in our lives. And he lived his life is a man to show us that we too can live as men and women by imitating his perfect life. This is what Paul meant when he commanded us. Isn't it interesting that it's a command, actually? Imitate me, Paul speaking, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. When we imitate Paul's walk, when we imitate Paul's walk, it's like we're walking like Jesus walked. We are walking in a manner which is worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ, walking a walk which has the same weight, so to speak, as our Lord Jesus. See, the scale is balanced as we imitate Christ, empowered by Christ. Will we ever walk perfectly as he did? No, of course not. We can't. We still deal with a sin in our lives. But nonetheless, Jesus is our example. He's the one that we're to follow. He's the one that we're to model our life after. And as we behold him in his word and grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will be transformed from glory to glory into the image of his by his Spirit, with the result that we will be walking more and more like Jesus. Be imitators of Christ. Walk in a manner worthy of our calling. Walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember Paul's words, therefore, this is in Colossians 2 verse 6, therefore as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. So walk in him. Paul gives us a command to walk in him. A walk that is only possible as we surrender daily. Sometimes it's hourly that I need to surrender, that I need to give myself over to him. Sometimes it's minute by minute. Continuing to remember that I need to surrender and in complete dependence on the Holy Spirit, who alone can supernaturally enable me, us, to walk like Jesus walked. And when we walk this way, we will not fulfill the desires of our sinful flesh. We will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with this story. There was an incredibly reputable builder. And he worked for a huge company, and this man built some of the best homes, the highest quality homes that this company produced. And he built these high quality homes over a span of 40 years for this company. And when he got to about 35 years of building homes, he was getting tired of just the incredible stress of the job and the demands of the job of building these homes. And so about 35 years into building homes, he decided, you know what, in 5 years, I'm going to hang up my tool belt. I'm going to retire and possibly do something else, but my time is done with building homes, and it's coming to a close. And so he informed the company, he informed the owner of the company, he said, look, in 5 years, I'm going to be retiring. And so the countdown was on. And so at 4 years, he sent another letter to the boss and to some of the big wigs in the company, only 4 years left. Another year passed, and he sent another letter to email around, and he said, only 3 years left. The countdown is on. It went down to 2 years. It went down to 1 year. And he continued to send this memo to all of the people in HR and to his boss. And so they were all aware of what was going on. 1 year left. And he was down to 6 months. He sent another letter. And he was down to one more month. And the boss called him in and said, hey, look, I'd like you to build one more home. And this guy was a little bit frustrated. Look, I've told you, I've given you 5 years ago, I said I'm going to be retiring in 5 years. And I've given you a letter every year. And in fact, on my 6 months, when I only had 6 months to lever, I gave you another letter. And I've given you 40 years of my service. I've served with integrity. I've worked hard for you. And you're asking me to build one more house? No, I don't want to do it. And so that's what he said, no. And so his boss appealed to him and said, look, you're one of the best builders there is. You and I have known each other for 40 years. We've been good friends over this 40-year employment time. And he said, I would really appreciate it if you would build this one last house for me. And so reluctantly, the man agreed to build one more house. unfortunately, his heart wasn't in it. This was a man who built really high quality houses. Solid houses. But this last house, as he started to build, he began to cut corners like he had never ever cut corners before. He was using substandard material at times. He was using subcontractors that weren't up to his standard, but because he wanted to get the job done quickly, he just called anyone. And he would allow them to work. He would have never done this in the past 40 years. But he was frustrated. He was tired. He wanted to get this thing done quickly. And so he lowered his standards. Well, the house got completed. And from the outside, the house looked really nice. Driving by, it had a lot of street appeal. It was built really well from the outside just to look at. But the builder would have known that inside, underneath all of that, there had been materials used that weren't the best. Some of the tradespeople that were coming in, they weren't the best. They were cutting corners. He was cutting corners to try and get the job done. And so he knew this wasn't the quality of house that he had been building for the previous 40 years. But, he got it done. And when the house was completed, the owner met with him again. And he said to him, "Look, man, you have worked for me faithfully for 40 years. You have built incredible, high-quality homes for 40 years. You have served so well. And I have appreciated your hard work. I have appreciated your diligence to detail. I have appreciated how you have built with integrity each and every home." And so he said, "So I asked you to build this home to show you my appreciation." And he picked up the keys to that house. And he said, "Appreciation for what you've done these 40 years, I'm giving you this house to show my appreciation for your diligence over 40 years. The builder realized right then and there what many of us will someday realize, and that is this: we are all building our own home every day. Walk in a manner worthy of the gospel to the very end. The gospel of Jesus Christ, as you look at the first three chapters of who we are as children of God, that gospel message, that reality of who we are, the identity of who we are in Jesus Christ, should be evidenced in the way that we walk each and every day. They should not be, our lives should not have different compartments in them or to them. When I was, for many years of my life was separated like this chart here. There was the private life that didn't interact with my family life. I didn't want those two lives to intersect because they were very different. I didn't want my family to know what I was doing in my social life, and I didn't want my social life people to know or tell my family what I was doing, how I was living, and I definitely didn't want that piece to be interacting with my spiritual life. And I didn't want all of these things to intersect because they were very different. They were all separate. I acted and talked very different in my social life, in my private life, than I did in my spiritual life or even my professional life, keeping things very separate. That, my friends, is not walking in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, worthy of our calling, what Jesus did for us to bring us into relationship with him. But how many of us is that the reality? But we don't want these different areas of our lives to intersect with another. You know what one of my biggest fears was, and it happens sometimes, and is my social life or my private life would interfere. Sometimes those people from those different things would cross over into my family life or into my spiritual life, people in the church. And then I was tensed because what if the people from my private life or the social life, what if they said something to my family? And it happened on occasion. And guess what I had to do? Well, now I've got to tell a lie to cover up some of these things, these inconsistencies. No, in order, that's not what we want. But you know what? I got so tired of living that life, that lie, trying to figure out who does this person know me as? Who does this group of people know me as? Who does this group of people know me as? I got so tired of living that life. I got so sick of living that life that I finally came to the end of me and realized and surrendered my life to Jesus because it was so tiring. And it wasn't walking a life that is worthy to the calling that I have been called. A walk worthy of the gospel message is more of a holistic view of our lives. As followers of Jesus, we want Jesus to be evident in all of life. There is no separation. There is no break. And that's what it is to walk worthy of our calling, worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he penetrates every area of our lives. We don't have a separate way we talk with one group of people. We don't have a separate way we act with one group of people than the other group of people. We're not afraid when these worlds collide because they're all one. That's walking in a manner worthy of the call of Jesus Christ on our lives. Walk worthy of the gospel message you have been bought into by the blood of Jesus. Walk worthy of that. Now, I know there's a struggle, and we have to remember and recognize that there is an incredible battle, and that's what we're going to look at next week. Because it's challenging to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, because there's three things at play. There's the world around us that wreaks havoc on our walk. There's the indwelling flesh where we still continue to sin that's causing us struggles in our life to walk worthy. And then there's Satan who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, rob us of the joy of the abundant life which Jesus promised. Next week we'll look at chapter 6. Where it talks about put on the full armor of God so that we will be able to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ. There's hope, there's joy. This isn't a sad story. I got hammered by the pastor again because he's telling me I need to walk this. But you know what, there's hope, and we look at how to do that. We're not on our own. First of all, we do have the indwelling Holy Spirit that we talked about today already. And next week, we'll look at the armor that we need to walk with daily. Let's pray as we close. Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that as children, your children, man, we have the richest possessions of all. We have all of the spiritual blessings you have given to us. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for your shed blood on the cross. Thank you that you have saved us from our sinfulness. You have cleansed us from our sin. You have washed us. We're now whiter than the snow. Oh God, thank you for that. And Father, you have told us to walk in a manner that's worthy of who we are in Jesus. And we want to do that. We desire to do that. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, would you just enable us to do that? Would you give us the desire to do that and empower us to walk in that manner? And Father, as we look forward to next week, as we put on the armor of God that you have given to us to protect us, to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus. So God, would you just give us just the hope in all of that, that we possess hope in who we are in Jesus and how you have not left us on our own, but you have given us the tools for battle. You have given us the weapons to battle in this spiritual battle that we are in as well. God, thank you for that. And I pray that my life, my desire would be to imitate you in my walk. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for speaking to us. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.